Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What?
I was typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem. Yes.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18plusgamblingcare.ie.
Yeah, very good morning and welcome along. It's finally here. It's the Cheltenham Show. I'm Tom Malone. I'll be joined by John Duggan and Johnny Ward, who are both on site. But it's a Tuesday of the Cheltenham Festival. It really is the most wonderful time of the year. Come in, John Duggan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, Tom. I mean, it's Christmas Day now. Not only do we have Christmas Eve, we actually have Christmas Day here. So really looking forward to it. The great thing news is it's dry. We had 3.5 millimetres of rain yesterday, but it's dry now. A bit chilly. I think temperature is going to be low during the week. So good to soft ground for the opening races of the festival, 28 in total. And can't wait.
Johnny Ward, how are you?
How are you, Bugsy? What's going on?
Yeah, we're looking forward to this, aren't we?
Yeah, it's, you know, I was sort of making the point in on the preview night circuit that if Sergino had been fit for the Arkle, it would be one of the best days ever at Cheltenham this Tuesday, you know. And I've written a lot about Cheltenham being diluted, and I suppose the only drawback today is what's happened to Lossiemouth. But, you know, we can look at that two ways. And for me, this is definitely the best day of the four. And as JD alludes to there, the fact that, you know, we've had some kind of pretty bad weather conditions at Cheltenham in recent years. This is going to be kind of like a Tri-Town Day at Navan type weather. Very, very cold throughout Cheltenham, but lovely and dry, and nothing that a hot whiskey won't do to cure in a few winners.
Yeah, the winners will definitely help cure it. Right, let's start at the start, because when you mention what a wonderful day and what a brilliant occasion Cheltenham's going to be, the way they've remembered Mikey O'Sullivan here is a really, really classy touch. And hopefully, John, it's just something that will really set the tone for the week in the best possible way.
I think so. Look, they've done a very touching and honourable thing, and all you can do is really have so much sympathy and thoughts for the family here. It's devastating. It's raw. Racing does continue, but that in no way lessens the pain that people are feeling about Michael O'Sullivan. He had everything ahead of him. 2 years ago, he rode Marine Nationale to win the Supreme Novices Hurdle here, and it was just a beautiful moment. And then he rode another winner later in the day, and that he's passed away less than a month ago is just still something. It's very hard to get your head around. That is not going to be sitting with his colleagues and his friends today. And I know there are cheers that go up for the Supreme Novices Hurdle, the biggest cheer you're probably going to hear all week at the festival. But I think there'll be a lot of tears as well here. And look, this is only sport. It's not life. I think real life and sport have intersected in a really tragic way in the last few weeks. It's not something that happens often in racing. It does happen. It is a dangerous sport. It happens maybe once in a generation. You never think it's going to happen again, but it does occur. And look, all you can do is have the utmost sympathy for Michael's family and also thoughts for his weighing room colleagues today, who are going to do him proud by remembering him, and will have the opening race to honour.
I suppose as well, the thing about Mikey O'Sullivan, he's a huge part of the Willie Mullins operation. And when you look at this race itself, Johnny, like, you've got six Willie Mullins runners, and you've got William Money, of course, carrying those silks of Barry Connell that Mikey rode so famously to victory with Marine Nationale 2 years ago.
Yeah, his last winner was Young Lucy at Down Royal, and I had the privilege of being there that day and speaking to him, because it was a rare interview with him in the context of him going freelance and having kind of left the Barry Connell job. I think he felt quite hopeful about the future, partly because, as you say, Tom, like, he is part of the narrative in this race, and he was like riding out of William Mullins's, and you know, with the talent that he had, you felt that he would have gotten some nice rides at this festival. Between Marine Nationale running in the feature tomorrow and William Money running here, particularly Marine Nationale tomorrow, these are sort of races that if you don't have a bet in, I think there's only one kind of horse you're sort of cheering on in a way. I'd echo what JD said there. You know, it's going to be difficult for the riders, particularly after Cheltenham, I think, as it kind of sinks in what's happening. happened to Michael. And I think Jennifer Pugh has done, by all accounts, wonderful work at talking to the riders. And, you know, whatever your belief in the spiritual kind of question of life, I would hope that his family gets some solace from what has happened today in relation to his name being on the race card. And Michael O'Sullivan is there in many respects today, because he's on everyone's he's in everyone's thoughts coming up to the Supreme. And it's a race I'm sure he would have loved to have a ride in, because as you say, Tom, there are you know, never be afraid to take on a Willie Mullins favourite, whether Willie Mullins trained second favourite, or in this instance maybe a Willie Mullins trained fourth or fifth favourite. We spoke about the KKKKKK stuff on the show on Friday. Lots of K's here, lots of K's in the Novice Hurdle tomorrow, these French breads, and one of them is Copic de Bourg.
Copic de Bourg, John, for many people who are just observing Cheltenham, will be the first in probably a lot of short price favourites over the course of the week. This race, from a betting point of view, is going to be huge in the context of how punters and bookies get on today, won't they? Really short price favourite in the shape of Copic de Bourg, and deservedly so. You know, on ratings, he's done enough to win the last, what, half a dozen or so Supreme. So he's a worthy favourite. Are you with or against him?
I mean, the market's spoken for him this morning, Tom. He's with Hills. He's 5-4 on. He's been backed. The only other horse has been backed in the race is Tripoli Flyer. So that means Romeo Coolio, Work Ahead, William Money, they're all drifters. Look, I think if Ted Walsh is ringing Willie Mullins and comparing Copic de Bourg potentially to Golden Signet, then you know you have a special horse. I mean, even on a line through Bleu de Vassy, Romeo Coolio's win over Bleu de Vassy looks quite ordinary compared to Copic de Bourg's win over Bleu de Vassy at Leopardstown. But he obviously is a horse with a bit of a character. The fact that they're putting a hood on him is interesting. They did that with Gaelic Warrior last year and it didn't make any difference in a negative way in the Arkle Chase. But this is a very different environment to what he ever would have faced. You've got 60,000 people. You have a lot of noise and sense in the air of the what this is all about. So, look, if he settles, you know, he's the horse to beat. But I think with novices, you can never be certain. And I feel that it might not be a bad thing for Copic de Bourg to make it under Paul Tennant. And I wouldn't be surprised to see another classical dream situation here. So I don't think he can be opposed, but I don't think he can be talked about as an absolute certainty either.
What about you, Johnny? I mean, Copic de Bourg, they mentioned the hood is on. He was a little bit on his toes beforehand in Leopardstown. Very different environment. I suppose if you are a bookmaker or someone looking to take this favourite on, that's what you're clinging to, isn't it? Because ability-wise, it looks to be all there.
Yeah, without kind of going all Delia Smith on it, like, bookmakers, where are you? Like, come on, you got to take this favourite on. You got to get... William Hill should be imploring punters to they should be holding out even money like the soldiers in Braveheart, you know, as they were meeting the advancing hordes and taking on this favourite, because as was pointed out to me at one or two of the preview nights, he hasn't taken on any of these horses, really. He hasn't... Basically, the main rival in this race, he hasn't run against him. And Romeo Coolio, who was very good in the Cheltenham Bumper and finished second, albeit that form hasn't worked out so well. He's a horse that's really made for this test and has plenty of experience. And William Money, who was a revelation the last year, Punchdown Work Ahead, who actually beat William Mully, and Salvador Mundi, who, you know, at the start of February, I remember making the point that, God, it was 10-1 the field in the Supreme if you got the best odds, which is kind of unheard of in January. And then there was a punt on Salvador Mundi, and that was in advance of his run on the 12th of January at Punchdown in that Grade 2, the Moscow Flyer, when he beat Kellis Roar readily. And then he was catapulted into sort of 5-1 favourite. He has done nothing since. He hasn't run. Everything is fine. And now he's available at 16-1. So there's an awful lot to take in this market. If you want to back Copic de Bourg, you know, go ahead. He could well be a class apart. But obviously in the first race of the festival, you're kind of looking for alternatives. And William Mully is interesting for me. I like the fact that he's experienced. The hood coming on is quite notable as well. And his performance the last year was a revelation. I'm not entirely sure about the general efforts of some of those in behind on that occasion. Would you read too much into it? Maybe a little bit like Brighter Days Ahead, would you read too much into a run the last day ahead of the feature? But for me, he's quite interesting at the prices.
Is there anything else attractive for you, John, at those prices, maybe away from Copic de Bourg?
I've gone each way for work ahead, Tom, and he's drifting in the market with the support for Kopech De Bort. So he's, what, 17 to 2 now? And I feel that as a half-brother to Bron, obviously there's class in his family. He skated in at Leopardstown at Christmas. And one thing that was noticeable was that he jumped well. You have to jump well in two-mile hurdles around Cheltenham on the old course. Like, we've seen it in the champion hurdle for so many years that you have to have good jumpers to win champion hurdles. And I think that that is one thing that we do know. I think he's quite an complicated horse. And I think he's definitely got a chance of making the frame. Look, with all these Willie Mullins horses in the race, one of them could surprise. We had Ebazion win this race 40 to 1 a few years ago. So when I was looking at the race yesterday from a punting perspective, I didn't think it was a betting race. But if you're going to ask me to put one that will finish in the first three and maybe be a better price, I think Work Ahead is the one to finish in the first three for me. And if he wins, even better.
Yeah, that's very fair. That's very fair. Let's move on to the big one then, because it is the it's definitely the race has captured the imagination. We have the clash, almost the clash we were hoping for in the weeks running up, obviously with Lossiemouth diverting there in the last 48 hours. But the champion, well, the champion from 2 years ago, the reigning champion, and of course the mare that brings so much intrigue to the equation as well in brighter days ahead. John, just tell us, how do you think this race is going to be run?
I think it's going to be run at a fierce gallop with King of Kingsfield in the race to set the pace. So you're going to have Constitution Hill and Brighter Days Ahead in a position where they're going to use the fast pace to try and pick off each other towards the end of the race. But I mean, I think Constitution Hill is going to win. Like, he's 10 from 10. He won the race very impressively, beaten Safe Man by 9 lengths a couple of years ago. And look, he's obviously had his issues, but he probably needed the race at Kempton and he still won easily at Christmas. Maybe the only thing that's going to stop him winning for me is that he either overjumps a hurdle or falls, and we don't want to see that, obviously. But Brighter Days Ahead, and I know Jack Kennedy told me recently that you can put a line through her run yesterday in the Mare's Novice. She beat a State Man that was obviously under par at Christmas. So I think she's definitely going places. There's a huge amount of confidence from the stable in her. But until Constitution Hill gets beaten for me, I can't oppose him. And it doesn't really matter what way the race is run, because I think he's just better than everybody else. He's £7 better than the ratings. And I think he could be a good bet at 6-4 on.
He is £7 better at the rating, as John says, Johnny. But that little allowance, is that enough? Is that enough for Brighter Days Ahead? Do you think the running of the race can give her a little edge here?
Well, it should be enough to entice mares to actually run in the race for a start, but maybe we'll get to that later. The confidence in Brighter Days Ahead, Bugsy, is just astonishing. And if you're looking at the betting exchanges this morning and general odds, Brighter Days Ahead has, a give or take, a 33% chance of winning today. Kevin O'Ryan on the Racing Post's kind of morning show this morning, he said he thinks she'll win, which is extraordinary given she's 2-1. And he's Jack Kennedy's rider, good friends with Gordon Elliott. I was on a preview panel with Gordon Elliott on Friday night, having spoken to Eddie O'Leary, brother of owner Michael, earlier that day. And it's the same message. They are massively, massively confident. A couple of things about Brighter Days Ahead. On the negative side, she had the treble penalty of me backing her at the festival last year for the first and only time and was beaten, which I think is a bit of a worry, because as much as the narrative now around that Mare's Novice is that Jack Kennedy and Paul Towne had lost the race for each other by looking at each other, and she was still beaten, and so she was beaten in that race, which was far less than this. And the other negative for me is that I just can't believe that performance at Leopardstown the last day. It just doesn't make sense that she could beat any horse really by the manner she did, let alone State Man. On the positive side, Jack Kennedy felt in the Morgiana that she wasn't doing anything in front easily. She was really looking around, and apparently she's quite an intelligent mare. She takes like the song of the birds in the morning. She's always kind of looking around. She sounds like a dream to be involved in every sense. And on the other side of that, she's getting the weight. And to be honest, the main positive for me is these are not modes we're talking about here, and the confidence they are showing is quite incredible. Gordon Elliott did kind of have that sort of proviso of not really necessarily believing that we have the Constitution Hill of old, and for me that might be key to the race here in terms of tactics. I do wonder what Sam's Twist and Davies will do on Burdett Road, because this was, you know, as he got going as a juvenile hurdler, he was a hold-up horse, travelled well in his races. I'm not really sure taking on King of Kingsfield or even sitting second is going to play to his strength today. So tactically, we'll see how it works out. But we have this potential angle of brighter days ahead, you know, coming there, traveling at the second last, and maybe Nico de Boinville tracking him behind. Don't forget, he made a terrible mistake at the last day as well. So all of your preconceptions could be thrown up in the air here. We have seven runners. We should have eight, and that would make a massive difference to the each-way terms. You note that Cheltenham have so many more handicaps this year. That's for turnover. That's for a specific reason. And the fact there are seven runners is disappointing, but to be honest, after hearing Gordon Elliott the other night, I don't think Lossie Mout would have gotten near the other mare in this, and this is a race to absolutely save or take it all in.
John, that pace angle, I mean, can you see any horse taking Constitution Hill out of his comfort zone at all? Do you think maybe he just might not be the same horse he was 2 years ago when he won this race?
Well, has Constitution Hill ever been taken out of his comfort zone?
No, I don't think he has. And when you look at the run at Supreme, that was an opportunity when John Bond went absolutely hell for leather, and he won as he liked.
So, once again, I think he was not fully race fit at Christmas, and he still slammed Burdett Road and Lossie Mess. Absolutely slammed him. And then he won at a canter last time. And Barry Geraghty, I was speaking to him last week, the vibes are very positive from the Nicky Henderson yard. And remember how badly Nicky Henderson's yard was under a cloud last year. So in a normal year, Nicky Henderson's yard does very, very well at Cheltenham. And I think they'll have a load of winners. And I think that Constitution Hill, until he shows me that he is dipped, then I can't oppose him. And I think that she is making him a price.
Yeah, very fair, very fair. Right, let's move on to the Arkle, and it'll be another part of these big multiples over the course of the week. But Johnny, for me, Majwa is just a horse I absolutely love. I was there in Ferry House the first day he won. He's a spectacular looking horse. He's a brilliant jumping horse. He has so many things in his favour, including the man in his back. Can you see Majwa beating Johnny?
No, I remember the unruffable Joe Malloy being on a show with him one day on Off the Ball and talking about a particular horse running at Cheltenham who was a little bit enigmatic, and I just said put €500 on him and don't have any other bets throughout the week. And Joe was absolutely aghast at this. I have matured since then. I'm not going to suggest putting money like that on. Only bet what you can afford to lose and all of that. But if you were having this kind of large bet for the week, Marsburg should be the one. Really, I can't pick a hole in him. And the way that Willie Mullins has been talking about him since he was a juvenile hurdler, with respect to the British challengers in this race, were good horses and very solid and kind of battle-hardened horses. They've never shown anything like the potential and class of this guy. And maybe some people say he's little issues with his jumping, and novices around Cheltenham, even in a small field, I wouldn't be taking that too lightly either, in the sense that you can make mistakes. And you know, just in terms of backing horse at short price at Cheltenham, I remember after I had a really, really strong bet on Mastermind to win the Champion Chase at around about 2-5, shorter than Marsborough, and he really, really scrambled in that day. And I said, I don't want to go through that again. So taking a short price isn't for everyone, but I don't see any reason why this horse should be beaten. He doesn't have any flaw for me. He's a beautiful ability to change gears as well at the end of his races, as we've seen in his novice campaign. And I see, you know, some of the heavy hitters around about backing him at the price. I'd prefer to back him than lay him, certainly at 4-7.
Yeah, John, on Majwa, like he's as Johnny mentioned there, he's a magical looking horse. There's so little in his favour. You like to oppose these short price favourites, but it'd be difficult to oppose this fella, isn't it?
Very difficult. If Willie Mullins thought he was a Gold Cup horse, I mean, I thought the Triumph Hurdle that he won last year was very good. I think that the one interesting thing about him is, and I think if there was 10 to 15 runners, it might be a different story, but he's only five. It hasn't been a five-year-old to win this race in 19 years, Void Prosted is. So that is one kind of quirk about this. Two runs over fences. So like his jumping at this speed will be tested, because they will go off a good gallop, and they always do in the Arkle. If you're going to back without, I love the attitude of Django Bay. I think he's a lovely horse. I think he's really likeable. He ran at the course earlier this season, jumped for fun. He's a former grade one winner over hurdles at Aintree. I think he's got a chance without Majwa, but it's not a betting race. Lotus Sud, remember, was a handicap hurdler, only by night. I think she needs to improve again. Touch Me Not has got form to overturn with Load of Suds. So Django Bay, just I think a horse to follow, whether whatever he does today. I think he's a likable type, but not a race to get involved in, a race to watch.
Yeah, well, if the Arkle isn't a betting race, surely the Ultima is a betting race. We've got 24 going to post. It's a deep look of renewal once again. Not the kind of race that Irish trained runners have a great record in. John, I know you've combed through this. What do you like in the Ultima?
I've gone for Whistle Stop Tour. He's got 10 stone 12 on his back for Lucinda Russell, who won the race with Cork Rambler. He's a lightly raced 7-year-old. I think the Grand National will be his aim and time. But I think he must be a contender after wins at Kelso and Ayr this season. The trip will be fine. He probably had a sighter over the course the last time over a shorter trip. Derek Fox rides. And I think under 11 stone, Whistle Stop Tour, definitely think a 12-1 might be able to reach the frame. Like Katate Dori comes into this after a winner at Kempton. Ferrero Brand Boo had a good win at Newcastle earlier this season. Grandeur Dam could improve, stepped up in trip. Melina Girl can't be discounted for Gavin Cromwell. She's a course winner and the ground will be no inconvenience to her. She won an Ulster National in the past as well, Melina Girl. So I wouldn't put you off her. The one, if you got to pick one for me, it's Whistle Stop Tour each way.
Good stuff. Johnny, what do you like in the Ultima?
I mean, Bugs, you can't be calling this a good betting race, surely. It's absolutely impossible, like utterly impossible. How many places are William Hill offering here in this? They're offering...
Not enough. No, unless you get about 10 places.
I want 20 places here, and I still won't get it right. I remember one day in the Racing Post Spotlight saying, I said, you can narrow down this handicap to four horses with some confidence, and all four of them finished out of the first four. And I said, I'm never, ever doing anything like that again. So William Hill offering 20 places here, I'm still not sure. Dundera, the last winner for the Irish in this, the guts of 20 years ago now, which is mad to believe. Not sure what to make the Irish Challenge this year. Melina Girl, as JD mentions, is noted. Sequestered, I fancy this horse strongly enough the last day, and funny enough he ran into Back to Normal, who was very sweet on for Cheltenham, but then he was out for the season, so at least he doesn't have him to worry about, and he could be he could give Jack Gilligan a good spin. I liked his effort at Leopardstown the last day, but I'm going to go with one of the home hosts here, a Welsh trained Katat Dori, who's just been progressing nicely. He's a very good attitude, will appreciate the strong pace under young Dylan Johnson, and for all that he's got, he got whacked for £12 for winning at Kenton. He's really progressive. Sam Thomas rode Denman back in the day to win the Gold Cup. He's making quite a name, and this one could go to Glamorgan.
Yeah, I actually quite like Famous Bridge. Thought he had a little squeaky tray. Won't be unsettled by the better ground as well. Right, going to move on to the Mayor's Hurdle, and I read you Patrick Mullins' quote in the Independent today, because we are not obviously delighted that she's lining up in the Champion Hurdle. But he says she had two chances to prove her Champion Hurdle worth. She was beaten by Constitution Hill, who hadn't ran for a year, and then fell at the Dublin Racing Festival. Two strikes and you're out. The Champion Hurdle is not a place for a third time lucky. She reverts to the Mayor's, which annoys some, but blame the game, not the player. Your thoughts, Johnny?
Yeah, there's an element of that. There has been a somewhat hysterical reaction to it. I do feel after her run at Leopardstown the last day, Connection should have been apt to say, you know, we're holding fire a little bit. It's as simple as that. We're going to leave her in the two races because, like as Patrick alluded to there, her prep is not ideal. I'm deducing here, Bugsy, that it might have been a simple situation of, and I said this on the preview nights, if there's any doubt as to what Paul Townend is riding in the Champion Hurdle, well, there has to be, and I spoke to JD about this, there has to be still a fear that Lossiemouth ain't going to run the Champion Hurdle. It annoys me because we were told that was the plan all along, even after Leopardstown. It annoys me also the fact that I love eight runner races or more for each way terms, and Champion Hurdle has gone in that regard. It annoys me in the sense that I don't fancy State Man at all in the race, and Lossiemouth, she wasn't a million miles off Constitution Hill the one time they clashed, and she can probably jump better. William Mullen said at a stable visit afterwards, we're going to change the way we train her with the view to being a 2 mile hurdler. But it primarily annoys me that we have these three stupid mares races at Cheltenham, and as I spoke about in a piece in the Currency of the weekend, if Dawn Run had been around today, she probably wouldn't have run in the Champion Hurdle or the Gold Cup, let alone both. So these mares races utterly dilute the whole thing. In some respects, it makes the mares race a lot more interesting because she's been relatively weak in the betting for a horse who should be a bit of a shoe in a race like this. And as Patrick alluded to in the piece, her prep isn't ideal. It's not a bad renewal of the Mayor's Hurdle. I'm not saying I was never a fan of the race. I can't remember what I thought about in the old days, but as the years have gone on, I've grown to pretty much hate the Mayor's races. And this is the worst or best example, if you will, of why it shouldn't be there.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair. John, you know, the price of Lossiemouth here, as Johnny alluded to, suggests that maybe she isn't 100% and firing out, and they have had to take second choice just because, as Willie Mullen said as well, she'd only be a runner in the champion hurdle. Does that make her doubtful in this?
But it doesn't make her a value proposition at 11 to 8 on, Tom, you know? So therefore, I think you need to be looking elsewhere. With all these things, if you're having one of these horses around odds on, around even money, I think you need to be looking for value each way. If you get in the first three, can you pick a horse finishing the first three? And then if it wins, it's a bonus for some of these races. So how can you be back in Lossiemouth with confidence after everything we've heard? They said they were training her for 2 years for the champion hurdle, and she's not running the champion hurdle. So that doesn't suggest to me that everything is rosy in the garden. And she might win. And once again, this race should not be at a festival. I completely agree with Johnny. But this is 20 years now, 4 days at Cheltenham. If you're going to have 28 races, you're going to have to find horses to go in some races. So it's the more responsibility of the people who run the sport to have these programs and to have all these races. And then you're turning it into a less than championship event. The one I've gone for, I was actually piqued by what Johnny said on the racing pod a week or two ago about Di Sardinos, and I'm stealing Johnny's tip, and then hopefully Johnny's gone off it now in the meantime, that Di Sardinos was a really good winner of a bumper at Aintree, has won at the course. I didn't run that well the last time, but at 28 to 1 with Hills, I think Di Sardinos is a horse that might outrun her odds. I don't think the trip will be an issue for her, but you could make an argument for Joyous. I think for horses that, like July Flower, has gone to England twice and disappointed. Jay de Grugy doesn't seem to be much market support, and probably a negative that Paul Tennant is not riding her, even though I was sweetening her about a week or two ago. So that's why I would like Di Sardinos against Lossiemouth. But look, nothing will surprise now with Lossiemouth. Lossiemouth wins easy, that's expected. Lossiemouth disappoints, that's not a surprise. It's not a great situation.
Yeah, it's far from ideal. Johnny, did you pop us up? Are you going to pop us up any choice selection, or are you just going to have this in the treble and just be like, oh, I'm grand?
As John alluded to there, I did speak up Di Sardinos' chance with the proviso that just that run the last day would expose that she's a little bit fragile. But like her bumper form is exceptionally good. And, you know, she was fairly well fancied for the Mare's Novice when she got a setback last year. And even her Great Wood run when she was a little bit fresh behind Birdie Road, for me, for all that she was considered a bit of a good thing, that's not bad form at all in the context of this. If she stays the trip and is at her best today, I'd be very disappointed if she's not in the first three, with the little doubt about Lossiemouth. Just one thing about it, and I'm playing devil's advocate here in the sense that you know, the Annie Power situation, apparently when Annie Power came down at the last, it was a 50 million swing for the bookmaking industry and stuff like that. It's kind of great copy and all of that. With two short price William Mullins trained favourites going into this race could have a fairly major bearing on how the day is going for punters and bookmakers, for all that turnover isn't what it was. So there is that aspect to it. Regardless of what you think about Lossiemouth, and I would primarily blame the programme at Cheltenham, which has been diluted to a ridiculous extent at this stage. Regardless of what you think, the Mare's Hurdle has gotten way, way, way more interesting for her being in it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Right, let's move on to the closing couple of races of the day then. We have, well, what used to be called the Fred Winter, now the Hallgarten and Novum Wines Juvenile Handicap Hurdle. Stencil's a pretty warm order favourite there in the JP McManus colours. John, what do you like in the Not Boodles, not the Fred Winter?
Well, first of all, once again, it's not really a punting race because there's so many horses with maybe stuff under the bonnet that we haven't seen. So they haven't maybe produced their best career performances yet because they've been obviously gearing towards this day. Look, Stencil could blow these away, right? He was a very good horse in France. He was second behind East India Dock at the course in January on soft ground and had a lot of horses in this race behind him. A lot of confidence behind him from Noel George's yard and James Reevely's coming over to ride. The one I kind of spotted, which was an interesting one, was Holy See off 10 stone 10 here. He was second behind Charlotte's at Nace in January, which has been a good guy that race. Bill Durkin had Eagle Fang here last year and he disappointed, but then he won a punch 10 at a big price. I think the yard is shrewd. I think he beat a bit of money for it. So Holy See, I'll be blessing myself if this one wins at 14 to 1.
Yeah, that's fair. I, by the way, if you're talking about absolute holy seas and biblical swings, I quite like Cool One because there's very little fashionable about this. He's by Cool Company, who's been shipped back to Ireland from Spain. You may remember him ran for Richard Hannon years ago. He's a big white face and he was a few horses on the ground now. Cool One for Conor Maxwell would be his, I think, his first Cheltenham runner. Ivan Ryan, who's James Ryan's brother, champion apprentice, his first Cheltenham ride. And I'm pretty sure it's Cool Company's first Cheltenham runners as well. So yeah, I'd be giving a little shout for Cool One. He's a huge price there. He's a bit, I don't think there'd be much market support for him either, so we might wait for SP on him. But what do you like in the 4-year-old handicap, Johnny?
So many analogies here, Bugsy. So many terrible puns. You know, I assure you there'll be plenty of white faces tomorrow morning after day one of Cheltenham. And there's a terrible pun in the Racing Post in relation to Clark Kent not being Superman in one of the races tomorrow. But
we have Sonny Bill as well. What can he offload in this? But yeah, go on.
Holy See as well, I suppose, with respect. And I know the pond of his ageing, but it could be a topical winner as well, with the Pope not too well at the moment. JP McManus is the first three in the betting here, Bugsy. That's not good for anyone. Maybe it's good for JP. He's not a man I like to second guess. Haven't gotten around to the interview yet in the Racing Post where I hope he revealed his secrets and all that. But Stencil has been well backed. One of my selections at the moment is third favourite, and he is owned by JP McManus. Put Your Hands Together, who's by Caravaggio, who I imagine, like Cool Company, certainly hasn't had a winner yet at the festival. Lucas Tipple as well, by Star Spangled Banner. I would suggest that would be Star Spangled Banner's first winner at the festival. But Put Your Hands Together, classy enough horse in the flat with mile and two pace. The drier the ground, the better, and it will dry out a bit throughout the day. He ran on heavy the last, it wouldn't have been ideal for him. Solid E3 chance, and as much as I knocked the sort of 4-day festival, this is one race I've always been a fan of since it was introduced.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, well, let's move on to the closing race of the day, the Princess Royal National Hunt Chase, a race that has been stripped of all its history. It's no longer 4-milers, no longer confined to amateurs.
What is it?
It's now just another extended handicap chase. You know, what is it, a Grand National Trial for next year? Exactly. I don't really know what this race is. But, Jod, we'll have a look at it anyway. 18 go to post, big Irish interest, as you would expect, because of the makeup of the race. Gordon Elliott well represented as well. Do you fancy something here in the old 4-miler?
Nothing strongly, but Captain Cody is a 14-1 shot, and I watched his race last night when he ran at Navan over 3 miles last time. He was flying at the finish. He was good enough to finish sixth in the bumper here a few years ago. Maybe he does prefer deep ground. Jody Town and Normandy rides, Danny Mullins does today, but he's a grade 2 winner over hurdles, and I think if he gets the trip and he gets into a rhythm, I think he's got an each way chance at 14-1. Haiti Collier is a good jumper. Patrick Mullins is obviously doing the weight for transmissions. That is a good pointer to his chance. Will Do has been hanging around and probably deserves a day in the sun. Jack Kennedy rides him. And Clark Kent is 80-1. If he reproduced his Scottish Grand National fourth, he would be right there. He hasn't done anything though since, before or since. He wears cheek pieces. So I've gone for Captain Cody, but look, if Clark Kent wins, I'll probably be annoyed. You'll probably find me in a phone box at the end of the day.
There you go. Johnny the National Hunt Chase. You're not going to respond to his pun there.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm just waiting for Clark Kent to come up the hill. I'm thinking of a lot of Joy Division and radio live transmission here with regard to one of the fancied horses in the race. Now is the hour, Bugsy. Is now the hour for the Gavin Cromwell trained horse, who showed that he was hinting at a return to form, as it were, at Navan the last season. He's been weeding the wagering. I don't know if that's to do with the mark he's gotten or the fact that the ground might be a concern, but he's looks like you might get a bit of 7-1 available about him. Presume he's been laid out for a race that has no place whatsoever at the festival now. I don't know what the point of it is, other than to have turnover for the bookmakers. Now is the hour, though. Could keep JD out of the phone box.
Yeah. If you're talking about a late each way double, total look, and now is the hour with the prices drifted on the pair, I think the two of them could run into a place. Anyway, let's move on to our best bets of the day. What are you most looking forward to? JD, we'll start with you. What is your best bet of day one of Cheltenham?
This is so depressing that I'm saying this, but Constitution Hill, I think, is a banker. I think he wins all the other ones.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I want to hear yours, Tom, obviously, but and Johnny's, but Constitution Hill to win.
Go on, Johnny.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, Bugsy, I think you've been very nice in the, you know, you've done well in the presenting role. All three of us, we can just turn our hand to anything. Can we tip a winner today? Put your hands together that we can in the Fred Winter for me.
Yeah, very good. Very good. I'm going to put one up at a huge price. I like Famous Bridge in the Ultima, just to try and just blow it up on the, blow up the P&L for the week. Anyway, thanks a million, guys. We'll be back again tomorrow for episode 2 of the Cheltenham Show in association with William Hill. Thanks to Johnny Ward. Thanks to John Duggan. I've been Tom Malone, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.